Welcome to Go For Side Effects. I'm your host, Kevin Simon, and today we got a great show. I want to first welcome my clean-shaven head buddy, John.
Hey, everybody.
My co-host. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
Good. All right. So today we got Corbin Anderson, who was on board the USS Haleakala, in which I'll let him explain where he went in, what type of a ship it was, and then we're going to get into a little bit where he was stationed, where I was stationed. It's a pretty awesome place. But go ahead, Corbin. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. A lot better now. It's nice to have other people to be able to talk at the same level with.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't know how high our level is.
I didn't say that now.
But hey.
Many different levels.
But Corbin, what year did you go in, and what was your rate, and kind of explain where you were stationed?
Well, I went in late 90 and did boot camp, and first of 91, I got transferred out. They gave you those, you know, you want those choices. You get like three stateside choices and one overseas choice. So for me, it was Alaska, California, or Washington stateside, and Germany for overseas. I thought that sounded nice. So they sent me to some place I never heard of, never seen. They said, you're going to Guam. And I was like, what the fuck is that? And they're like, it's an island. And I'm like, oh crap. So I actually, you know, back in the 90s, I had to find a globe and find the damn thing while I was in boot.
It's a pin dot.
It literally is a pin dot.
Okay.
But so I was stationed on board the USS Haleakala AE-25. We were an ammunition ship. Built in 53 or 59? 59. Built 59. In 59. I got to look sometimes. And so she was a Korean War ship, and it supplied ammunition during the Korean War, a lot of theaters after, and through Desert Storm when I was on it.
Okay. Now, I want to explain to everybody what Guam is like. 27 miles long, 8 miles wide.
I thought it was 15 miles long. I don't know.
No, it's 27. It's 27.
Really?
Yeah.
It may be
15 now. You know, after all.
They might have put an addition on it. I don't know. I tried bicycling around it once. That didn't work out too well.
Why would you try to bicycle around Guam?
Well, a friend of mine and I did. But you ever heard of tuba?
The what?
Tuba?
Uh-uh.
Where they tap the palm trees and they get the sap, and that stuff ferments extremely quick. And you end up at Denny's.
All right.
We made it about halfway around the island before we ended up at Denny's. But yeah, so it's a small island.
Denny's. Oh my God. Okay. So Denny's on Guam, everybody. I just want to explain what this Denny's is. It's
Fuzzy
not
place.
Your typical Denny's. They had a big buffet of crab, all you can eat. Oh my God, it was so good. And it was so cheap. And we went once a week. I don't know about y'all, Corbin, but we went once a week.
I think we went when we were drunk.
Well, yeah, we were always drunk. So I want everybody to kind of understand what kind of ship Corbin was on. So when they docked and they loaded ammo, it was just small pier.
Yeah, we had a concrete pier out at the tip of the island because if we detonated, they didn't want the base to go up with it. So we were as far away as possible.
And let me tell you, so this, I was on board, I think I was on board 3 weeks, and our chief was like, I need two guys to go over and let off the Haleakala for a typhoon coming in. By then, it's already raining and storming. It wasn't real bad at that time. And I got volunteered, and this guy named Edwards. We were boot camps, man. We didn't know anything. So we get on this tugboat. They take us to this little bitty block in the middle of the freaking harbor, jump on it, and so we're up there going, well, this ain't bad. 1 hour later, I kid you not, the wind is blowing. The seas are getting rough. I mean, you can picture it. we were leaning at a 45-degree angle just so we can stay on board this thing on this little pier. And finally, Haleakala is like, oh, yeah, we'll go ahead and take off. So we take them off.
We probably broke something.
Oh, man, let me tell you something. Next time they had a typhoon, my ass did not show up. And then my ship was gone. And I was like, oh, I got a little bit of trouble for that. But I was like, I ain't going back on no damn tugboat. All right. So, Corbin, let's talk about your time in the Persian Gulf.
Okay.
Well, your times, because it wasn't just once, I'm sure.
It was for me.
Oh, it was for you?
Yeah, because I went in, we actually flew to the Philippines, and I caught the boat at Navmeg Philippines, and we loaded 110% and then shipped right into the Gulf. And I got a great introduction, completely jet lagged, just landed in the Philippines, sitting there on the base, got on the board of the boat. They're like, okay, you're useless for today. Go crash out for the day and catch up some sleep. So went up, tried to crash out about 2 hours on the boat. First time, brand new out of boot camp, stuff like that. Fire in the head right next to my berthing. It was like, oh, crap, that's an introduction.
Wow.
What, somebody lit a fire in there?
Something caught on fire.
What do they do, sit on a shitter and then light their farts or something? How the hell do you light a bathroom on board a ship on fire?
I don't know. We were talented.
Yeah, now, that takes
now
skill set there.
What was your rate? What were you
I was a non-rate, but
so
I was
that is
division.
A seaman recruit.
Yep. Well, I was a seaman apprentice when I came out of boot camp. I was an E2.
Oh, you did something good before you went in.
Yeah, no, I actually tested real good in boot camp. What is it right after boot camp? It's not an A school, but it's just a general school that you go to. Yeah. And I tested well enough out of that, I grabbed a rank. And so I came on board the boat as an E2. I got stuck in weapons division, which is probably good because it was a lot of fun. But it was also all the cargo was ours too to take care of. So anything that came on, went off, got moved, we dealt with it. Mm. Along with taking care of all the 50-year-old armaments and everything else on there.
50-year-old.
Man, I tell you what, man, them ships were old, man. I'm telling you.
Well, we went in and I was looking. We had 3-inch 50 guns on the front of the ship, and we had two twins on the front in they were in these little domes, so they were all enclosed, but the one side is for ship to surface and the other side is for anti-aircraft use, and the anti-aircraft use was still all gauged out for prop driven aircraft. So if we were attacked by a Cessna, we were pretty competent.
Jesus.
Man, I'm telling you, man, I our 3-inch guns in the front. No, I had no confidence at all.
They were a lot of fun because they were electrically fired. So when main power dropped, you could hand crank the turrets anywhere you want to and point them at anything, but they couldn't be fired because it was an electric primer. And then the last year, I think it was the last year and a half, they put 25-millimeter chain guns on the front that were battery powered. So you could shoot them all day long. Well, till the battery ran out. It was like a big car battery. So after about, I want to say like 500 rounds, the battery died. And then it wouldn't matter if the ship's power was on or not. The battery was dead to your gun.
No shit.
There's no backup?
Nothing I knew of.
Jesus. Okay.
So you kind of, one way or the other was their thinking, I guess. But
okay. So I'm going to ask you this. So when y'all supplied, did y'all do like unreps and all that stuff?
Yeah, we were. That's all we did was vert rep, unrep, high-speed transfers.
We went Hold on. You're talking to it. So the third guy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot there's an Army guy involved.
There's an Army dude in here. So I don't know what the hell
y'all just said. So vert reps are with helicopters. The helicopters will pick up a load, go land it on their flight deck. And then unreps were two ships going side by side and send a cargo over at the same time while you're moving in the water.
Both sound. I mean, the two ships side by side, that just that just astonishes me. That's got to be. No. Do you guys do that in bad weather too? Oh, or yeah. You avoid that like the plague?
I think the biggest, we took on board the USS LaSalle. Yeah, USS LaSalle. We brought them along board side, and they're about 20-foot swells, 15 to 20-foot, and you almost could reach out and touch somebody on the other ship. And finally, we were just like, let's break away. We ain't doing this shit, you know. But usually you try to do it less than 5-foot swells, really.
Oh, okay.
And the ships generate their own swells between them that are amazing at sometimes. We did the USS Midway when we went into the Gulf, and I think she was the oldest carrier at the time. And I was just sitting there, and our antennas on our very top, our top radio antennas, were lower than her hangars. I was just like, that's a big ship.
That is, wow.
But the swells that two ships generate, because we're both pushing water towards each other, it's crazy. You'll get water splashes on the bridge and stuff because they'll hit so hard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man, I tell you what, when you go through a typhoon, I've been through three typhoons. Three.
Yeah.
So when the first one, when we got on board, it was a typhoon and a cyclone hit Guam at the same time. And when you pull out to sea, oh my God. I mean, don't go to Macombo's, which was a bar, and try to drink it dry and go back on board. Your commanding officer is not very happy with you, boats and mates. We were pulling in them line. We were laughing so hard. We had a good time. And then while we were on the bridge, we were not feeling too good. We had trash cans next to us. It was not a fun deal. But, I mean, you're hitting 40 to 48-foot swells out there.
We were coming back, I think, from the States. Now, I will say my memory is spotty on some things, but so I'm sure somebody will correct me later. But we got stuck between two typhoons, one ahead of us, one behind us, I think between Hawaii and Guam. And it was the only time that we had a rack break loose, which is three beds stacked on top of each other in a metal frame. And it broke loose and wandered around our berthing section for a little while before we tied it to the overhead. And that same time, we had to have watches down in the cargo holds to make sure nothing shifted. And I was in the number one cargo hold up at the very bow. And that was the only time that I ever got seasick, but my chair was leaving me when we'd go down a swell. I just sit there and it was like, oh boy.
I tell you what, I remember we had a runaway fork truck.
Yeah.
Oh my God. If you ever seen a runaway fork truck in a typhoon, I mean, that thing goes everywhere. It's hitting everything. And you're just like, well, how in the hell do you catch some shit like that? Yeah. And so I was over there. I was like, oh man. So we ended up, I believe it was Stillwell or Vetch, decided to tie cargo net and let it run into that, and then we tied it down. But it was hell. And I want to say hi to Mitch and Gavin. How are y'all doing today? Corbin, let's talk about some of the stuff that you're going through today. How are you feeling? Like, are you having brain fog and stuff like that?
Yeah. You know, I hit 50 and the warranty expired. You know, yeah. That's the best way to explain it. I hit 50 and I've had several things for a couple decades, but it's just like everything is just cascading right now. I was diagnosed several years ago with something called mastocytosis. And I think that might have been Gulf related, real easy.
What is that?
It's called systemic mastocytosis, and basically your body generates blood cells that are mast cells. They carry allergens and anti-allergens in them and stuff like that. But you trigger on random shit. And when you do, you go into a full body allergic reaction. And basically for me, My major trigger is alcohol. I guarantee you, if I get around any alcohol, I'll be spending 8 hours in the ER.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Holy crap.
Just tubed up, but you know, I call it my Zoidberg impression because I turn red and I swell all up, and you know, between 6 to 8 hours on Benadryl and epinephrine drip in the ER. And I usually have to tell them how to do it because it's so rare. But,
damn.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
How about any nerve problems?
Yeah, a lot of brain fog comes with that. I also pulled sleep apnea. I've got sleep apnea. I've had that for as long as I can remember. And a lot of these things, I think my big problem was, is I got out and it's like, okay, I'm out. I'm done with it. I'm not going to think about it too much anymore. I went to the VA off and on when I was, I'd only go to the VA if I didn't have health coverage through my job at the time. So I'd go to the VA a couple years or a year, and then I wouldn't see them for 5, 6 years, and then maybe another visit, which isn't the way to do it. But, you know, well, the mentality at the time is I only go if I have to.
All right.
And I was on the Desert Storm Registry for a little bit, but since I didn't go back in, I fell off of that. And so spotty health tracking through there. And I don't know. And just dealing with stuff. I mean, right now, my shoulder, a couple months ago, my shoulder's going out. And I've got arthritis in my elbow. And that was a big surprise. Because it just showed up hard. And it was like, what the hell just hit me?
How about fatigue? Are you fatigued at all?
Oh, yeah. Chronic fatigue all the time.
That's the one thing I feel like daily I'm noticing how tired I am.
And it's like when you don't do anything, but you're completely exhausted. And it's like, what the fuck have I done? I haven't done anything today. And yet I'm wasted. I'm just totally wiped out.
Now, I'm about to blow both of y'all's minds. So my wife is doing nursing school and she is learning one thing about Gulf War illness, ALS.
Oh, don't say that. Don't say that.
I bullshit you not. ALS is common in Gulf War veterans because of the chemicals.
I want to say Lou Gehrig's. Is that all?
It's Lou Gehrig's. And I said, don't say that because my mother passed away from ALS.
Yeah.
So I know how you're encapsulated in your own body and you don't lose your... You don't lose your
right. And so, but what surprised me is, so is Parkinson's and essential tremors.
I'm getting shakes.
And that, I take medicine from it. The medicine I take is Primidone. And I actually, there's a guy that's never been in the military, but when he comes in, he shakes real bad. And I told him about Primidone. And he talked to his doctor. They put him on it. And he came in and says it's the first time he's been able to type.
Nice.
In 3 years because of Primidone.
That's cool.
So anybody out there listening, y'all all need to kind of think about, you know, if you're having central tremors, talk to your doctor. I think the VA prescribes the Primidone more than anybody. But
I haven't been diagnosed with that, some of that stuff yet, but I'm getting there because I just went in. We had a new clinic open and I just went in and my wife and I sat down and we made a list. Brand new doctor, brand new clinic. We hit her with 20 things. Hmm. And she's like, well, let's look at the first 10 and we'll go from there. But yeah, I ribboned on rifle and stuff. And I used to be a real avid shooter, but I'm random shakes. You know, you just sit there and my wife's going, you're shaking. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. But there are signs that guys, y'all need to pay attention to. The twerking. Like you're laying down at night and you're twerking. If you're
saying twerking, not twerking?
Well, same thing. You know, shake. Hey, I like twerking. Never mind. Tweaking.
Oh, I don't want to hear about that.
I didn't say anything about my little ass, John.
No, you didn't have to. It was insinuated.
Why are you even thinking about my little ass, John?
Here we go. See, I didn't. All I did. Jesus. See,
that's
and,
how
and
I Corbin get John to laugh. That's how I get John to laugh. I'll just say my little ass, and he'll be like,
God, because you always talk about your ass at some given point in any conversation. Kevin has to talk about his ass.
Hey, but I mean, honestly, with everything that is going on with the Gulf War veterans, Parkinson's, tremors, and ALS, I mean, the more and more that I'm reading about it, I'm understanding what stuff is, it's scary. It is.
I will tell you personally, I was looking into it because I kind of got a late start on all of this. To me, getting out of the service, moving on with my life, ignoring common things unless it put me in the hospital. There was a lot of that. And then just when I started researching stuff, I started looking at Gulf War vets on, there's a group on Facebook I'm in, and they're Gulf War vets from around the world. And, you know, the simple question was put out there, do you guys remember any chemical exposure out there? And then, cause I was trying to get stuff together for my claim. And then, so I was like, you know, let's find a commonality out there or something that I can show. And all of a sudden, all these responses kept coming in, and all the responses from foreign countries were like, yes, we documented exposure. All of our responses from all these ships were around the same time. They had all these malfunctions of their detector gear, or the detector gear was deemed to be improperly placed. And honestly, that hit me so freaking hard. It was, you know, I've always been, oh yeah, I was in the Gulf, you know, shit happened, I'm sure. Doesn't bother me right now, but it, you know, seeing all that and all the responses, it shook me to the core and it scared the hell out of me. Because it's just like, oh shit, because it really makes it real.
Yeah, it does, but you can't obsess about it. You can't. Right. Yeah, but there are guys out there who are. There are guys who I talk to that literally, like, sometimes I just can't shake this. I'm like, you got to.
Yeah.
You got to, but if you remind yourself every day when you wake up, look, I got a purpose. I got to do this. Find that purpose. That's really what it amounts to, I think, in a lot of people. You know, after a certain virus hit, I can't say it on here, let's take my damn sight down. Things changed in this world.
Yeah.
And people got to get back in to that mindset of, hey, you know what? We got to get back into the groove of things. I mean, I see a lot of stuff in between TikTok. I see stuff, you know, Instagram, all this stuff about, you know, what caused Gulf War this? What caused Gulf War this? But really, truly, Dr. Haley is really the only one that has put himself out there and say, hey, you know what? These guys suffer from all elements out there. And his report was done years ago with the ALS I was telling you about. And I was like, well, son of a bitch. I was like, what else are we going to find out? That our toes are going to fall off in 5 years?
Well, one of the things is there was a movie that came out a few years after I was out. I don't know if you remember, called Thanks of a Grateful Nation.
Yes.
And it was a movie that really covered what happened to veterans coming out of Gulf War. And it disappeared pretty quickly. Then it was renamed. I just found it a couple weeks ago. I just found it, and it was retitled The Gulf War. And because I've been looking for that movie off and on over the years, just to show people, you know, that, hey, something did happen. It was covered up a lot like Agent Orange and that kind of stuff. That's basically the same treatment.
Now, so for... go ahead, John.
No, I was just going to ask Corbin, so where'd you find this, the Gulf War movie at? What, like, Netflix or Hulu or...
I'm trying to remember. I think it's on Roku channel, maybe. Because I just searched, I use Roku. And okay. So I just searched in the Roku. And it came up that way.
Because I'd like to watch it. I've never watched it. I mean, I know we were talking earlier, Corbin, Kevin asked you about the fatigue, and I got to go back to that. That fatigue thing just kicks my ass. You know, like you said, Corbin, you go do something or very little of anything, and you just come back and you hit your recliner wherever you feel comfortable at, and it's like you almost just fight to keep your eyes open. You're like, what in the hell? You know, and you've done what we would, most of us would say, a whole lot of nothing. Yeah. I mean, right. And especially you do something of that nothing nature for 45 minutes to an hour and you're done. Forget it. Lights off. It's over, you know, and you can't fight through it. There's no fighting through it.
And then if you got sleep apnea on top of it, you can't just crash out on your couch because you stop breathing.
Right. Yeah, that's a bad thing. Yeah.
Yeah. But it freaks my wife out. Because I'll twitch.
I took a B12 shot last night because I have to take it every 2 weeks. If I don't take it, I'm telling you, I'm done. But I went to bed 7:45. I didn't get up till 6 something this morning.
Hmm.
And I slept really? All night. Yeah.
Wow.
And usually
okay.
After I get that B12 shot, 15 minutes later, I'm like, blah, 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 blah.
See, if I get 3-4 hours solid sleep in a row, I shouldn't say I'm happy. I'm like pleasantly surprised. Wow, I slept that long? Okay.
Yeah. And that's me.
You know, the sleep apnea, which I have as well, you got to pull this stupid mask off. And
oh,
like,
I know.
I hate that freaking thing with the passion. But you kind of got to wear it if you want to live.
Yeah.
You know?
That's why you shave your head.
Yeah.
No. Son of a bitch. I just figured it out.
Oh, the two came together.
I'm like, damn.
The light came on.
It sure did.
No. It has shit to do with it.
Hey. As much shit as me and John give each other, I love John, man. I love my brother, man. But I just wanted to bring this up. You did talk about your ass just a little while ago. So I want that to be chalked up as John talked about his ass, everybody.
Wait, at what point did I talk about my ass?
You said it kicked your ass. It doesn't matter. Well, you said your ass.
Oh, okay. So I said the word ass. It kicked my ass. I didn't say it kicked my little ass. They're dead. Oh my God. Okay.
I win.
I just gotta let it go.
Let it go.
You got to remember, you got to undo your hair and let it flow when you say let it
right,
go.
Right.
Hey, look, he has a nice set of hair and he's over there talking about let it flow. I let my hair out. He just does whatever the hell it wants. You know, I don't even see any damn gray in your hair.
I got lots.
Yeah.
But I can see a little gray right here.
My wife is very gracious in pointing out the copious amounts of gray she finds.
And speaking of the wife, and I don't know if you have children or not, but when did your wife, like, did it take her a little bit to understand, wait, the Gulf War may have caused this?
Yeah. And, well, this is my second one. Yes. So we've been married about 14 years. So some of the stuff I didn't realize might have been related, or I wasn't diagnosed with some of this stuff. I was pretty clueless into coming into this. Systemic mastocytosis is a progressive thing. So it starts off real light. You don't really notice it. And then on me personally, because with everybody, it's a little different. But for mine, it's in my lower gut. So the effects take about a 3-4 hour delay. And so it took me years to figure out what was going on. Cause one, it didn't make any sense. I could be eating something or drinking something, and all of a sudden I break out in hives all over my body and my blood pressure drops and I turn bright red and then I start going into shock. And so, and it's just like, cause it started out real mild. Oh, wow. I have an itch. And then it would go away. And then it'd be like, oh, I've got this hive. Go take a cold shower. Go away. And then it just, as the attacks kept coming, it got worse. But with the delay, I didn't know anything that would have caused it. Because, you know, I started thinking, what the hell is this? And then finally I had a doctor that, you know, was like, well, maybe it's mastocytosis. And so I got online and started reading it. And it was like, oh, this kind of falls into place and clicks together. And so we finally were able to start tracking triggers and a few other things. And once I found out the delay, because there was one night I had two beers, was the last thing I had. And then I went to sleep and I woke up and went to the ER about 4 hours later. And it was like, it had to be that, because there was nothing I ate or drank between going to sleep and going to the ER.
Huh.
But it was 4 hours later, which really throws you off, because you can do a lot in 4 hours. You can, you know, have another meal and, oh, maybe I was allergic to corn, or, but that's not it, because I had corn the day before. It was fine, or something like that.
Huh.
Well, I'll tell you what's crazy is, you know, when I sat down, I was talking, just regular talking to a counselor, everybody, not just asking questions. And she asked me about, you know, have you been married before? And I said, yeah. She said, you know, she finds more Gulf War veterans have been married more than two times.
Really? That's interesting.
More than regular veterans?
Yeah.
Because every veteran I know of, well, except maybe a couple, have been multiple marriages.
No, she's talking about like three marriages. That's what she was talking about. The more she's finding out.
Do we get a bulk discount?
Not in the divorce part. I'm just kidding, everybody. Don't get mad at me. I'm just kidding, but it's true. You know,
we do have one kid. I have one child. She came with two, which were great. You know, and the one we have together, he does have health issues. And I know that, you know, you watch Thanks of a Grateful Nation, that movie, it really points out that kids of Gulf War veterans usually come down with health issues pretty young. And it's not unusual. And so, you know, there's a lot of thought about, you know, did my DNA damage cause his health problems, or was, you know, what else is going on?
Right. It almost makes you feel guilty.
It does. Oh, it absolutely does.
It's not like, hey, we came home, had kids, and we knew what we were exposed to. I mean, that they lied to us.
Yeah. And it damages not only us, but our descendants.
Yeah.
But
also damages the spouses along the way, because they have to deal with both.
Yeah. You know, right now with my health, the way it is right now, I'm living on whiteboards for memory, and it drives my wife nuts, because I, you know, don't remember what she said yesterday or what we talked about sometimes. And it's hard on her.
Well, believe it or not, Primadone helped clear up my brain fog. I did. I don't know what it is about the damn medicine. I'm not foggy, but I still have memory issues.
But what was the main reason, Kevin, for the Primadone, or what? I mean, initially,
my tremors.
For your tremors.
Well,
okay.
I used to shake real bad. I mean, I'm telling you, man, my head'd be like, look like a damn pinball machine, and everybody noticed it. Except for me. And then when I went to the doctor, like, oh, yeah, I noticed that. Like, what the hell? You didn't do anything about it?
You didn't know your head was moving? And I'm being honest.
Not until somebody told me.
Really? Huh. That's interesting. I mean, you know, when we talk about, or Corbin, you just mentioned a whiteboard, and when I'll be talking to my wife, and, you know, most guys, you know, nobody wants to be wrong about anything. It's a human nature, right? I mean, you'll admit you're wrong if you get caught, I mean, under certain circumstances. And the wife will mention, well, you just said that yesterday. And I'm like, no, why would I say that? No, I would never say that. And you're like, wait a second, did I say that? And then you start second guessing. Then you start second guessing everything you're saying. Like, wait. But then she kind of uses that a little bit against me, too, in her own playful. Oh, sometimes I want to slap her because it's just mean.
Well, hey, I tell you what. I never do.
There's nothing funny about spousal abuse. I was just, you know.
Yeah.
I was like, I said that? She goes, yeah, don't you remember we were talking about this, and this? And I'm like, I'll start recalling some of the conversation. I, son of a bitch, I did say that, didn't I?
I do it all the time.
You know where you put something. You know, oh, it's over on that shelf. And you can guarantee it's on that shelf until you walk there and look at the shelf and it's not there. And it's like, when you can no longer trust your memory, it's really bad. I mean,
yeah,
it's really
scary.
Bad.
It's scary.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, what, like whenever I'm driving, I always go, okay, I got to 2 exits up, 2 exits up. Okay, 1 exit up, 1 exit up. Because, shit, I will pass the damn exit up. I remember one night I was driving. Shit, I ended up 20 minutes up I-45. I'm like, ah, dang.
So you were a navigator in the Navy, you said?
No, I was a bosun's mate. I was a bosun's mate.
That's funny.
There's no way I can navigate anything.
That's funny.
But I smart ass. But I honestly can tell you my wife does that too, John. My wife will say, you just told me that like an hour ago. I did?
Yeah.
It's like, especially if you're having a conversation, there's no argument. It's just, you know, hon, you just said that an hour ago. You're like, and she's being very honest with you, not, you know, just completely honest. And you're like, it just infuriates you.
No longer selective hearing.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we can't blame our shit on selective hearing, man. I'm telling you. Because I get that shit all the time. My wife's like, where's your damn hearing aids? At the barbershop. I wear it at the barbershop.
You have to wear hearing aids?
Oh, yeah, man. The ringing in my ears are so loud.
Oh, you got tinnitus.
Oh, bad. I ended up getting it was... The captain decided, oh, we're going to have somebody from the Independence break the sound barrier right next to our ship. You want to talk about shit in your pants?
Oh.
Dude, have the guy break the sound barrier right next to your ship. I tell you what, I hit that deck and I was just like, I'm dead. Then when we realized what it was, I was like, shit, my ears are ringing. And then, I mean, from there, it's just... Soon I'll be screaming at my kids. What'd you say?
Well,
so you're ready to run the needle gun?
Yeah. Oh yes, man. John, you know what a needle gun is?
It doesn't work too good on canvas.
It's a pneumatic hammer, what it is. It has like 20 different type looking nails coming at the end. And when you press that button, you put it up against that wall, it chips that paint.
Oh.
It's badass, man. Man, the first time I got to do that. Oh, it's like, brrr, it's loud. It is loud.
Why don't they just call it a pneumatic hammer?
But
as it's got all the needles coming out the end.
Yeah, man, looks like needles.
Literally has things literally like needles.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they're like 20 little rods. They're thin rods that come out the end.
And that's what you use to take paint off side of a ship with.
Yep.
Yeah. It's really cool if you hit your buddy with it too.
No. Yeah.
Right in the elbow.
No. No. We never do that.
Yeah, okay. Whatever. I ain't the only dumbass that ever did it.
That's fine.
But I do give it to the spouses that put up with us. I mean, mine doesn't have to put up with much. I'm a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And I
that's what she says too, huh?
Yeah, no. But as far as like I have my oldest son, he's just a defect. I mean, he's his own self. And, you know, if he's listening, I love you, son. Really. You
oh,
know.
Jesus.
But, I have my middle one who is not, you know, affected by it at all because it was a his and her child. And then our child together, our daughter has it. And, I mean, and so, yeah. Like, she'll be standing somewhere can pass out.
Yes, POTS.
Yeah, it sucks.
And POTS is closely related to mastocytosis. It's most people with one or the other can be diagnosed with both.
Wow.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And it's
not uncommon, let's say, to put it in the groups that I'm in for people to have both.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And then, like, a lot of guys who we talk to, you know, they got a lot, like, neuropathy. Like, I have neuropathy real bad. And that's my primary biggest thing I have is the neuropathy. I mean, I had it since I started feeling it around 40, and I'm 52. Yeah, I'm 52. Man, by the time I'm 60, I just wonder if I'm going to be able to walk. That's the part that sucks.
Yeah.
And then I had a neurologist tell me, oh, but your nerves can, you know, they can heal themselves. No, they can't. Tell me one person that's healed from neuropathy, you dumbass.
Well, you know? My mom has.
Yeah,
to a
really?
Point. Yeah, she had all the nerves in her legs go out, and then they regroup.
Well, that's because she probably had some ailment that happened.
Yeah.
Right. But once you get neuropathy and you've had it, like my B12 went down to 70. And it was at 70 for like 6 months. So my nerves are completely damaged. They wanted to do another nerve test on me. I was like, kiss my ass. No. Hell no. Them nerve tests hurt. And I'm a sissy. I mean, that's I'll be honest, man. I don't, you're not sticking a needle in between my toes, through my ankles, none of that bullshit. No, thank you.
I got a question for you then.
Okay.
Does it take more anesthetic when they do like a local? Does it take more anesthetic for you to numb out?
I don't know because I haven't been cut on yet.
Because like with me, I've had several like little tiny minor things where they've had to use locals, but they had to use like twice as much before I'd numb out. I always found
the
that
pain
interesting.
Was so bad.
I just could feel it. It wasn't so bad. It was just like, can you feel that? And I'm like, yeah.
Ooh. Now, why would you tell me that now? They're going to go, and we're going to operate on you. I'm going to be like, oh, no, you're not.
Okay.
I talked to Corbin today, and he said he could feel it. What kind of good shit you got for me?
It's that whole, brain fog and everything just jumps and relates to something else. So I got that squirrel syndrome going. You said nerves. I said, oh yeah, that reminds me.
And like my fingers, like these three fingers on this side are completely numb. These three right here burn. It's just like, come on. I mean, at least my cutting fingers are fine.
Your cutting finger? Oh, your barbershop.
Yeah, for a barbershop.
Okay.
So...
Hey, Corbin, so this is because I tend to wait till the end of the show, but when we're off, don't hang up. We still want to chat after we hang up the line, so to speak.
Okay.
So we were talking about memory. How many times are you guys talking to somebody and you're talking, and completely forget your train of thought, and you're like, and you're hoping and praying they pick up the conversation because you don't even know where you're at.
What would
you
say?
Yeah. No, I'm serious.
I do that.
Well, and how many times when you're talking to somebody and you really honestly don't mean to, but you just tune out?
Oh.
Yeah.
And I mean, honestly aren't doing it on purpose. You're sitting there, you're actually interested in the conversation, and pretty soon there's a silence and it's like, oh, wait, what happened?
I hope my wife listens to this.
Yeah.
Pay attention to every word my wife says. I'm talking about other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
an ass kisser right there. I can tell you right now. Even my reading's gotten bad. It is. Like, my handwriting's always been bad, so I don't have an excuse for that. But, like, my reading, like, I'll help my wife. Hold on. I'll try to help my wife study for her test. And it'd be like, I'll get lost in the page real easy. So, for, like, this past Veterans Day, I did a speech at the church. So, instead of reading off the paper, my pastor was like, hey, why don't you do like PowerPoints? Like, have each section blocked out. You just look at it and talk about it. It went great. So I was like, okay, because I do. When I start reading, I'll get in and I'll start losing my train of thought.
Oh.
And also, Corbin, I want to talk just a little bit more, but I'm going to talk about like all the shots that they gave you on the Haleakala for the Amphitrax. And
I don't think we got any. Oh, I don't remember
them.
That.
Oh, yeah, you got them. If you were out,
I got
go
stitches.
Forward.
I don't remember shots.
You got what?
Oh, I was rather not graceful. So I always was getting stitches.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
What the hell does that mean? What'd you do?
Oh, you know, you just climb out of a cargo hold and catch a piece of metal or something like that. And I was always getting 5 stitches.
Holy
somewhere.
Crap, man. Hey, I tell you what, the ladder backs that we go up and from the birthing area and like during fire drills or anything like that, we close the hatch and they open up the circle hatch. I guess that's what I'm just trying to put in layman's term for you there. John.
Thank you.
So it's the circle, it comes up. Well, somebody didn't lock that hatch, that part of the hatch down when they opened it up, and this guy was coming up, and where you spin the wheel to go up to open it has this big old long freaking spike hanging at the bottom of it. That thing came down and hit him in the head. I had never seen so much blood leave a guy. It was like they stopped the drill, everything. They put him in. I don't know if I ever saw that guy after that.
Did that guy survive?
Yeah, he lived. But
really?
Damn, first thing I thought of was like, he's going to have a migraine.
Oh, if he survived, he had a migraine. Yeah, Jesus.
And then,
that would be.
And then I remember a guy, like, see, our ladder backs, when we went down, we didn't take step by step. You just grabbed the handrail and you slid down. I mean, you got really good at the going down ladder backs. Like, it was nothing. You grab the handrails, and you never walked down them. You just slid down them.
Well, and on all our cargo holds were vertical ladders, so you just did the best you could between decks.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's true. And then, you know, like our cargo holds, you know, I never went down the cargo holds after they told a ghost story to me. No freaking ass, thank you. No. But so before we end the program, I do want to tell everybody the story. So we were always told about a fantail fathom, that a guy hung himself in the paint locker and he died, but his ghost haunts the ship. So more and more we hear about this. So I decided one night there was this guy I wanted to play a prank on. And the Kim lights shake up and you break. Well, I decided I got on these white uniforms that I had, and we poured them Kim lights everywhere on me, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was glowing like a son of a bitch. And I decided, hey, you know what? I'm going to walk back there, and I'm going to scare the shit out of this new guy on the ship.
That poor bastard.
So I go walking back there, and when I came around that corner, I mean, I had glow on my face. You should have seen the headphones. I could see this kid in the dark hauling ass from that fantail watch. I mean, he just threw off of his his handheld talker and it took off running. I was standing back there, I'm laughing my ass off, and I bullshit you not. We have these little pontoon boats that we store in the back. 2 of them fell at the time I did that. You should see my little asshole ass because there was guys up there who pushed them off to scare the shit out of me.
Oh, that's funny.
But I remember a lot of my long-term memory is really good. I remember almost every phone number on the ship. I remember almost all the phone numbers I grew up with, but it's the short term.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's definitely, you know, I think a lot of it is that you look into it, that sleep apnea, Because at night when you sleep, it's supposed to convert that short term into long term. And when our sleep is disrupted, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And so the worse the apnea gets, or, you know, like with me right now, this shoulder hurts enough when I sleep, it wakes me up, and my apnea, you know, I wake up and I'm toast. My memory's toast.
I know if I go get my left shoulder checked, they're going to see my rotator cuff, and I'm just not ready for that.
I wanted them to say rotator cuff, and they're like, nope, you got tendonitis and arthritis in the elbow. And I'm like, what the hell?
I got bursitis in both of my shoulders.
Yeah.
And that's just painful, man. But
that one.
You know, go ahead.
No, I want to talk completely off subject to what we're, well, it's about veteran stuff. But,
oh, yes, yes.
Oh, so this is just for the veterans that live in the state of Iowa. I've been, you know, trying to help some veterans. And we were told that the Iowa Trust Fund, so that money that's available to help veterans, was on hold. And this was before the election. And frustrating, I'm like, okay, this is a political thing. What's going on here? I got solid information. And I thought, okay, we're after the election now. Surely things are letting up. And it hasn't. So now still, for the veterans living in the state of Iowa, they cannot move forward on it. So just veterans, not federal stuff, just state stuff. Like the Veterans Trust Fund comes from, at least in part to my understanding, from the lottery, the state of Iowa's lottery. That money's, at least part of it, is used to help veterans, which might help if you have a old Korean vet that's furnace is having issues. It could be used to replace that. If a veteran's having problems with a vehicle and it needs to be worked on, they can help with that. If you need dental work, that can help with that. That all is pulled from the Veterans Trust Fund. That Veterans Trust money is on hold. And I was told that, well, there's some legality issues because they've never had this much money pulled from the Iowa State to veterans. And I'm like, that sounds a little fishy to me. Wait a second. All of a sudden now we don't have enough money, but other monies were negated to be brought in because we didn't want grant money from the federal government to help educational department, because our state would have to pony back some money to get that grant. And I'm like, all this money that's mixing around, but yet, and I'm all about kids and their education. That's fine. It is what it is. The decision, I mean, we put the people into power to take care of monies, but those of us veterans who are asking for help from our state to do various things, that money's being held. And they say, well, you know, the information they're getting as a reason why, well, it's because of legalities. That sounds like a cover up to me. That sounds because we don't have a better excuse to give you. We're going to tell you this and hopefully you bite off on it. That sounds like a mismanagement of funds. That sounds like somebody doesn't know how to handle the power that they've been given and how to manage that. I'll just say it, because if there's misappropriation of funds for the veterans, that's a problem, you know?
Right.
And this is at the state level.
And that's, you know, just it. I mean, you hold the governor responsible for it. So anybody listening to this that lives in Iowa, even outside of Iowa, everybody should call up that governor's office and ask where the veterans' money is. What's going on with it? Call the Iowa senators. Hell, call your senators. Call the news stations. Because these veterans that are sitting there, that are waiting for their furnaces to be fixed or anything around their house, you know, these guys are elderly, most of them.
Yeah, a good majority of the people, whether they're elderly or
this, it is. I mean, it doesn't have to be elderly, but I mean, hell, I mean, I wouldn't have, it's just bullshit. Totally bullshit.
Yeah, it's really frustrating when your VSO people, their hands are being tied. They want to help you, but they can't help you if those above them, appointed over them, are failing at their jobs because right. of some legal. There's always ways to get around legalities. Don't give me that. Don't say, well, we've never pumped out this money. Now we can't figure out how to do it. It's a bullshit excuse.
If you got,
I'm just gonna phrase it how I feel it.
If you got the money in, you should be able to put the money out. That's exactly how I agree with you, John. So we're just asking everybody that y'all need to be aware. Check all your state and local government's funds. I mean, shit, that's your money. But
I mean, I know there, whether it's state level or a federal level, we'll put a group. Well, a group of people will be selected for an oversight committee. And so now you're paying for an oversight of an oversight of an oversight. Right. You know, I mean, just people on top of people because people can't be trusted. I mean, that's what it boils down to. We don't trust you, so we're going to put an oversight committee on it.
Right.
You know, I mean.
They need to let me run the VA system. I fixed this shit in a heartbeat. Everybody have a little ass when I'm done with it. But John, thank you for saying that, and Mitch, you know, he's got bursitis too, and I mean his shoulders and everything, and he's done with inflammation from autoimmune responses and everything, so that's a big thing too. It's our autoimmune disorders that a lot of us go for vets. But with that saying, Corbin, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
Not really. I mean, I could go on for hours, but
right.
I don't want to go down that rabbit hole right now.
No, but we do want to check in with you, though.
Yeah.
And bring you on as you progress with everything you're filing, everything you're doing. But if anybody out there, y'all know how to get a hold of us. We say it over and over and over. Y'all can send us a message, man, just as easy if y'all need help or if you have questions. But I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. John, I want to thank you for bringing up about what's going on over in your state. And
yeah.
if we have anybody high power up, which we know you're listening, do something about that shit. I want somebody high power to come on this program. That I'm going to leave this as the last words. If you're high powered and y'all want to come on this program, talk to me. I would love for you to have me. I would love for you just sit down, have a conversation with me, but I want to, you know,
can I go real quick here? I'd like to see more of my shipmates come on this program, especially ones that were there during the war, you know, fill in the gaps I don't have. Or fill in the gaps I have, whichever works better. you know, I'd like to see more of us here.
Band together.
Yeah, band together.
That'd be awesome.
I'm going to have quite a few of my shipmates on here coming up. We're going to try to do it next month. That's what we're hoping for and everything. But, you know, my bosun had surgery, and we're all praying for him to get better. And everything. So, Bosun, if you hear him, we're praying for you, buddy. So, I want to wish everybody a great night, and thank you for listening.
Speak in soon. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Go For Side Effects. If you have any stories you would like to share or just have any comments or questions, please email me at kevinsimon@goforsideeffects.com. Just to let all of our listeners know, we have opened an online store. All proceeds will go to Helping Veterans Connect. The link will be in the description below.